Andrew started out playing drums for a little bit. And then soccer overtook the drums. And we understood. Devin plays violin. Amber also plays violin. Where is Amber? She's downstairs. But we've grown up. We love music. My wife loves to play the piano and sing. And we enjoy music. And there's something about music that grips the heart in ways sometimes that sermons, messages, and all of those types of things do not grip the heart. So let's pray and then we'll start. It is good to be here, Father. Thank you for this wonderful day. Father, no matter what day of the year it is that we celebrate your birthday, which should be every day, thank you for what that day represents. Thank you that through your Son and because of your grace, we have peace. I pray that your Spirit will teach us this morning, and you'd be honored. Amen. So, this morning, music. I'm stepping away from Titus for today because I just thought it'd be fun to talk a little bit about Luke 1 and 2. And you're welcome to turn there if you like. Do you know how many songs surround the story of the birth of Jesus? Anybody have any idea? It is true, by the way. And there's a variety of songs that actually surround this time of the year, specifically to the birth of Christ. Anyone take a guess? Take a guess. How many? Laurie said 50. Okay. I'm talking about specifically related to the text in Luke. Anybody else? Do not look. Anybody? Take a guess. Doesn't matter. Four. Four that are specifically in the text of Luke, chapters 1 and 2. Did you know that? Yeah, four. I didn't know that either, to be honest, until I got reading and looking through these passages the last week or two. Four songs amidst incredible fear and incredible power. Four. One of them Jerry alluded to, the Magnificat of Praise, Mary's song. That's in Luke 1, 46 to 55. The second one is the Benedictus of Zacharias. The Benedictus of Zacharias. Zacharias' song. The third one is the Gloria of Excelsis of the Angels. Luke 2:14, it's one verse. And the fourth and final song is the Nunc Dimittis of Simeon. Simeon's song. And that is in Luke 2 as well, 29 to 32. Surrounding these four songs are multiple themes. Obviously, the central theme is Christ and his birth and our Father's grace and the Holy Spirit. These verses are loaded with the Trinity. Loaded with the Trinity. Do you know the incarnation does not happen without the Trinity? It's not possible. It is absolutely not possible. The Father who is the source, the Son who is the mediator, and the Spirit of God who is the enabler. That is how we have the incarnate. And that is one of the things as I was reading through these two chapters began to come home to me. It is all about God, the Son, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit. But woven throughout These two chapters are two themes, three actually, that hit home to me. The first is human fear. Human fear. The second is divine power. And the third is peace. Human fear. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, better get my watch off here. There was a priest named Zechariah, of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both rather advanced in years. Interesting word there for barren. Anybody know what the word is? Sterile. That is how we get the word barren from sterile. That is the exact Greek word. So interesting that Elizabeth is presented in this format from the get-go. She was sterile. An inability to have any growth in that environment. So that is the setting upon which the forerunner is going to be conceived and born to present the baby to the world. A sterile environment. We talked about how God works in ways and in mysteries. And he does things that we would never imagine. And he uses things that we would not imagine. And he uses people. A sterile womb. Interesting, isn't it, that God would choose that to bring forth John the Baptist. Reading on. Verse 8. Now it happened that while he was performing his priestly service before God and in the appointed order of the division, according to the custom to the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and to burn incense. This was something that was very unique, and not all priests got to do this. So, ironically, Zacharias is chosen to offer probably a week's time of burning incense. And the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering. It is said that the people would love to come during this time because the odor of the incense nullified the sacrificial burning of all the offerings, the death and the smell of the blood and the flesh. And it was that odor that presented a fragrance to our Father. And an angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah, standing to the right of the altar of incense. And Zacharias was troubled when he saw, and fear gripped him. Fear. What did the angel say to Zacharias? Fear not. Zacharias, no need. For your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you'll give him the name John. Now, I'm not sure at this age if Elizabeth was appreciative of that prayer. This was a unique situation. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. And he will drink no wine nor liquor, for he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. Now listen, there is so much to say in that line right there. In the Old Testament, the Nazarites, when they would take a vow and they would not shave their hair and they would not drink wine, it was for a period of time to show their dedication and commitment to the vow that they were looking at or taking part in. Do you see the wording of this statement? He will never drink wine and strong drink. Do you know what that points to? His unending commitment of service to the Lord. It wasn't just a week or two. His purpose was divinely given to point to the one coming after him, the Son of God. And that never would end. That's the reason he was appointed. And that would not change. Nothing in his life. And the fact that the Holy Spirit was on him, supporting him, moving him, empowering him, would continue that effort through his life. And notice when this happened. He will be full of the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. So who established this? God. God did. And yeah, it's raining. It's raining hard. Can you imagine if this was all snow the last 2 days? Man, that would be so good. So I told Drew, let's put a picture up there. We'll just imagine there's snow. Good job, Andrew. Thanks for all your hard work today. Al, I'm sorry I missed this morning. I was disappointed. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go forth before him in spirit and power. Human fear, divine power. And that is the only way God's mission and God's message and God's work is accomplished. By the driven power of the Spirit of God. That is it. Of Elijah. Everybody in Israel was familiar with Elijah and his power and his works and the miracles and the driving sense of leadership he brought to that nation. To turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. It's the power of the Spirit of God. Jump to verse 26. So it's an interesting story. I hate to jump over that, but what's interesting is the people are waiting for Zacharias to come out. And they recognize that there was an issue. When he comes out of the service, he can't talk. I'll just read that. The people were waiting for Zacharias and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. But when he came out, he was unable to speak to them. And they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. When the days of his priestly service were ended, he went back home. After these days, Elizabeth, his wife, she became pregnant. She kept herself in seclusion for 5 months. Now listen, don't walk over that and just breeze through that. Remember the environment. She's sterile. What an amazing feat. With God, all things are possible. She remained in seclusion for 5 months. This is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days that he looked upon. To take away my disgrace among men. Again, we're all reminded, we've been taught it for years. But to not have a child in the Jewish family was very disgracefully looked upon. To the point where a husband said, you know what? I'm going to put you away. And there was written code to allow for that. Because she could not bear a child to him. He was going to put her away, move on. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. So we're being set up here already with where this child is going to come from the nation of Israel. Of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. So we're getting all the players, you know, right up front. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord's with you." But she was very perplexed I mean, I probably would have been too, ladies, as you would have been. But she was perplexed at the statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. Okay, what's this all about? And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid." Human fear. First thing. "For you have found favor with God." Not because of who she was, but because of God's sovereign choice. You're going to conceive and bear a son. And you know what? I've already settled it. His name's Jesus. Yeshua. Yahashua in the Hebrew in the Old Testament. Deliverer. Savior. Friend. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Well, this is sounding pretty good. But Mary said, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit, divine power. Divine power. He's going to come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God that you're going to bear." Human fear, human hesitation, lack of understanding, and the power of God through the Holy Spirit will accomplish step by step. Human fear is a pretty grave thing at times for all of us. "And behold, even your relative Elizabeth also has also conceived a son in her old age." I don't know. You know, you have to wonder if Mary knew this at this time. I have my doubts, because you have to wonder if Mary wouldn't have been down with Elizabeth much sooner than 6 months into her pregnancy. "And she who is called was called barren, sterile, is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, 'Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word.' And the angel departed." Quick. Mary trusted. "I don't understand, but I trust." So we know that Mary went down to hill country in Judah, entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. Why do you think the baby leaped in her womb? Anybody have any thoughts? What's that?
Because the Holy Spirit was upon him.
Upon who? Okay. Anybody else? Maybe. Any other thoughts? I'm not sure we fully know, but there's obviously some sort of recognition from one to the other. And what's interesting is the words that we're going to read that follow. Because it's almost like there's an incredible sense of humility and worship from the baby in Elizabeth's womb to what is to be in Mary's womb. "When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she cried out with a loud voice and said, 'Fortunate, blessed are you among women, and blessed the fruit of your womb.'" Who told her? Who told her that she was pregnant? Who told her? Can you imagine what's going through Mary's mind? Can you imagine what's going behind the scenes between these two women? What are you talking about, Elizabeth? Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. Is it not incredible that that baby, John, is expressing incredible joy? 3 months before he's born? To a child that is either just conceived or to be conceived in the womb of Mary. This is incredible. This is an amazing prophecy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. Song number one. And then we have, of course, Mary's Magnificat. And Mary said, my soul exalts the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regard for the humble state of his bondslave. Doulos. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. Because of her? No. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and is holy, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation towards those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, and he has humbled those who were humble, exalted those who were humble, and he has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy. He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever. And Mary stayed with her 3 months, probably till the birth of John the Baptist, and went back home. I would love to see that song. Actually, that song is put to music. It would be interesting if I could have played all four of these today. But there's 15 things that are spoken there that Mary just blurted off. Now listen, where did all of this come from? All of these things that she just is singing in her heart about before Elizabeth to God. Where did this come from? Only one answer. Only one answer. God himself put it in her heart and on her lips. Moving on. Now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she gave birth to the son. And I have to read through this because this is such an awesome story. Her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had displayed his great mercy toward her and were rejoicing with her. And verse 59, and it happened that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child. And they were going to call him Zacharias. You know, the literal Greek reads, they called him Zacharias. They were going to, they did. They called him Zacharias. After his father, which was made total sense, complete sense. But his mother answered and said, No. Reminds me of that guy on TV on the commercials. No. He shall be called John. Again, a picture of the grace of God. John. God's grace. And that would be the message declared by the Baptist through his life, his time of service. Our God is a God of grace, and what's going to happen, we're going to soon find out in a few short months. That was John's message. And they said to her, there's no one among your relatives who is called by that name. And they made signs to his father as to what he wanted him to be called. And of course, he can't talk. And he asked for a tablet, and he wrote as follows, John. Now the people were astonished, and behind the scene you can see that the people begin to sense something's going on here that we don't comprehend. Ironic, that's the way God works. He works in ways we don't understand, with power that only can be explained by his Spirit and by his divine sovereign leading. That's it. I love that he works with ways that we don't comprehend. We can't take credit as the way it ought to be. At once his mouth was opened and his tongue, and he began to speak in praise of God. He didn't say, you know, doggone it, it's about time. It's been 9 months that I've had to sit and listen to all this gobbledygook, and I've had it. No. He praised God, and guess what happened? Fear came on all those living around them. And all these matters were being talked about throughout the hill country of Judea. When will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was certainly with him. And his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Spirit and prophesied. And again, this is the pattern of God with his servants, with his specific message. He chooses them. He oversees their circumstances, the setting that he is working his plan out. And then he empowers them to move them to speak and to act and to say what he once said. And it is interesting that he chose Mary. Who was Mary? Who was Zacharias? Who were the shepherds? Who was Simeon? Who were these people? Were they special in and of themselves? They were not special. They were not unique because of who they were in their setting and their time. God chose people that we would not have chosen to deliver the Redeemer, to present him, to conceive him, to give birth to him, to deliver him. And then we have Zacharias' total song, which we'll just bypass. Tremendous song. The Benedictus of Zacharias. What an incredible, incredible. There's so much truth in verses 67 through 80. I just can't stand going past it without saying some of them. All right, one thing I have to share. In verse 73, the oath which he swore to Abraham our father, to grant that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. Do you see the word rescued? Does your translation say anything different than that? Rescued. Delivered. Yes. Delivered. Rescued. It's the word ruamai. It is a phenomenal word. It is absolutely amazing how God picks and chooses what he does through the Spirit to put in these words. Because the whole concept of that word is literally to pull someone out of the fire, to deliver them. They can't help themselves. That is the picture of Christ. But he doesn't just save them. The idea behind this term is he saves them to bring them to himself. Because only in him is what? Redemption, safety, deliverance, hope, peace, comfort, joy. Only in him. That's the picture of our Savior. And it's the picture of us in Christ. Israel had a Redeemer, a Savior, and so do we. And we're going to find out that this message is not only for Israel, but is for the Gentile. And that is in the fourth song of Simeon. Moving on. Luke 2. We know that there was Caesar Augustus at that time had sent out a census to count the people, because one of the main reasons they took a census was what? Tax. Who said that? That's exactly right. Taxes. Money. The almighty dollar. Can't live without it. And Joseph and Mary, they said, okay, we'll go head up. We're going to head up to Bethlehem. Key, ding, 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 right? Because who's going to be born and come from Bethlehem? The city of who? David. And we know that the throne of who? David is the throne that will be transferred through to the millennium. And who's going to sit on it? This little baby. Amazing story. Come on. This stuff is just incredible. I'm excited, huh? Because we couldn't invent this, right? Seriously. We couldn't invent it. To God, peace cake. All right, let me see where I'm at. All right, I love this part. Drew, you getting ready? It's soon time. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock. One flock. Multiple shepherds. That's all we know. At night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were what? What in the world? Guys, what is that? What's going on? And what did the angel say to them? No need to be afraid. No need to be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You are going to find this baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a feeding trough. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, what? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, among men with whom he is pleased. This verse, when the multitude of angels or servants, literally the word is an army appeared. Now, can you imagine how feared they were at that point? Whoa. Instant audience, instant popularity. But they never took it upon themselves to think that they were special. This song that we're going to play, can somebody turn the lights off, please? Anybody, just flick the lights off so you can see this better. Andrew and I have to time this to try to make this work. And I'm going to put this. This is song number 3. This is called The Gloria of Excelsis of the Angels. If there was ever a song that I imagine the angels sang to this child and this announcement at this time, this would be the song. It's by Casting Crowns. It is a phenomenal piece of music. Song number 3. Now, let me get ready here, Andrew. All right. Ooh. See, this is why we have to do it like this. He's going to have to play with the sound a little bit. Oh, yeah. I swear, it's mangled now, everybody. Andrew, you ready? I'm ready. Oh, Andrew, hold on. Oh, it's the wrong one. Oh, I can't believe this, you guys. This is frustrating.
I heard the bells on Christmas Day. They're all familiar carols play. songs with you. The peace on earth, goodwill to men.
Spirit was upon him, And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to carry out for him what the custom of the law was, they had to wait to the eighth day after he was born for circumcision. Then he took him into his arms and he blessed God and he said, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in thee, according to your word. For mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared." Please understand that. You have prepared. Our salvation, our safety, our redemption and hope is prepared by our Father. It is not based on what we do. That is crucial to understand that. We had nothing to do with this. Nothing. You believe because His Holy Spirit came upon you, just like the Holy Spirit came upon these individuals and made this happen. And anybody who believes differently has to do have to take task with God. I get weary of hearing of so many things that are built upon human effort. And listen, our God is gracious. Let's not throw it in His face thinking we can do something to make Him happy. Which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. Key, that's key. Not just Israel, all peoples. Why? You are a light of revelation to the Gentiles. This is new for them. This is being revealed to them. This is something completely new. And the glory of your people Israel. It was because out of the nation of Israel and the tribe of Judah would come this incredible Savior. What a glorious thing to come from the people. Can you imagine what the Jewish people thought about right about now? They wouldn't even walk down the same side of the road, story of the Good Samaritan, to help somebody who may have been a Gentile or different than them. And now they're being told by none other than God Himself, this glorious Redeemer is for the Gentile and the Jew. What an incredible, miraculous story. This fourth song, I would like to play it real quick and we're done, if that's okay with everybody. The Nunc Dimittis of Simeon. Now you dismiss. That's the Latin. Now you dismiss. Simeon was saying, I have held this baby in my arms. I have understood, Father, what you've been telling me through your Spirit. Now I've held him. I've treasured him. Now I understand your message. Drew, you about ready? And as soon as we're done with this, oh, no. Yeah. Okay. Michael Card.
In the temple, waiting in the court, waiting for the answer to a promise. And all at once he sees them in the morning sunshine, a couple coming carrying a baby. Now that I am held him in my Gentiles and the glory of His people. Softly come.
Human fear, the power of God, the answer for man's problem and peace through a little baby that only God could do. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you that it's the truth that we long to hear. It's the truth of fulfilled prophecy about your son. Father, you mean business and you're serious. Thank you so much for all of these songs that enhance the story of the birth of your son and the rejoicing that occurred over a period of 9-10 months. Thank you for every blessing we have for our redemption, and thank you for providing us safety in Christ. We're excited, Father, for this time of the year especially, but make these truths live in our heart daily, that we will grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Son, the Lord Jesus, and we'll bring you the glory and this honor this day. In your name we pray. Amen. Merry Christmas, everybody.